Brandon Inge joins us on Sports Byline USA. Brandon, in his 12th Major League season, of course, up until the very moment, he had been playing with the Detroit Tigers and now an infielder for the Oakland A's. You know, Brandon, I was thinking about you. All the time you spent with the Tigers, a veteran team, and then you jump over to a young A's team. Tell me a little bit about your observations of both teams. What is the difference between a veteran team besides just age and a young developing team like the A's?
I mean, for one, you know that you have guys that have been around for a long time. Like Detroit, we had a lot of guys that have been around for a while. Some pretty high salaries over there, too. But sometimes it doesn't always equate to winning. Simply because once you start signing some big-name guys, you know, there are egos involved. Which, I mean, I'm not saying all of the guys, but, I mean, there's most of the guys there are pretty good guys. But when you put a lot of superstars on one team, it's kind of hard, you know, because there's not really one leader on the team. And a lot of times you kind of need the leadership coming from one area. So I think they may butt heads a little bit over there trying to figure out who's the leader of that team and, you know, how they're going to go. And then I come over here and I get to kind of lead this team a little bit too, because, I mean, there's a lot of young guys, a lot of rookies on this team. And it's funny too, because I look back on like 2003, I think we had one of the worst teams in baseball in Detroit that year. I think we lost 119 games, and it was a rough season. But I look back on that year, because we didn't have any veterans on that team, and if we had a couple, it would have helped out that season. So I try to think about it in that way. Maybe I can help out some of these younger guys, which they're more talented than anyone we had on that team in 2003, so I'm not really relating it that much to that. But I love the guys here. They're good guys that play hard, and they're fun to be around. We have a blast every single day. Win, lose, or draw, we have a good time out here.
Brandon, one of the things that I know, and every year I've gone down to spring training, one of the questions that's always going to be asked at spring training, where is the leadership going to come from? And I've always found leadership in sports to be kind of interesting. A lot of people think it's the rah-rah guy, the vocal guy, but sometimes it is that quiet guy. How does leadership kind of come out on any sports team in any sport, do you think?
It comes from someone who's been around a while, who's had some success. That's first and foremost, because no one's going to listen to someone who hasn't accomplished anything yet, to be honest with you. And the second is just being a good person, to be honest with you. It's not the guy that's going to yell at everyone all the time, because nobody likes that guy either. You know, it's the guy that's actually, he's a really good guy most of the time. He likes to cut up. He likes to joke. He likes to have a good time. But when that bell rings and it's time to get serious, he's the one that's going to be leading the pack. And I think that's the majority of it. And to be honest with you, it's more common sense than anything, you know. I try to do things in baseball the way that my father taught me, and be very respectful to the game. And, you know, things just kind of work out in that way.
When you take a look about when you were a rookie in the major leagues 12 years ago, and you look at the rookie or the young player in Major League Baseball today, what did you see as the difference between you and the other young players when you broke in and today's young player?
I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. It's the same game. I think the veterans are a lot different now. When I came up, I mean, there was still the rookie hazing. It was a lot worse then. I remember being told when I got to the field and sit in my locker, face my locker, and don't look out until we tell you to. And it was just like that. I mean, it was kind of like they tried to intimidate you, which I didn't like, because I felt like it held people back. I felt like it, you know, there was a lot of animosity in the clubhouse when stuff like that was going on. And it didn't last long, and it only took about one time for me to stand up to them, and then that was it. But you know, other than that, nowadays we don't do that as much. You know, I want the young guys to come in and be productive right away, because that helps us win ball games. And I think that's what it's all about. You know, winning ball games. It's not about intimidating someone. You know, when a guy, you know, he steps out of place with a young guy or something, yeah, you put him in his place and you let him know, but you tell him the right way to do it. You know, and it's not about being disrespectful. It's about, you know, there's a right and wrong way of doing things in this game, and sometimes you need to, I guess, enforce it.
One of the things that I've always found in talking to the veteran player is that they'll reflect back on when they broke in and about somebody that took them underneath their wing. Now, I don't know whether that's done as much today because players are moving about and everything, but who was it for Brandon Inge when you broke in?
I had Damien Easley and Tony Clark, those two guys. To me, they played the game the way it was supposed to be played. They're very respectful. They played hard every single time. They were out on the field, and, you know, I respected that a lot. They were very nice to me, and you know, I would always go to them with my questions. Anything I needed, anything I had a question about, as far as, you know, a question I had on the field, they'd answer me and try to help me out. You know, that's what you look forward to, not someone that's going to scream and yell at you all the time.
You played for Jimmy Leland back in Detroit, and he is a guy that I've talked to many times. And He doesn't show a lot of personality, at least not outwardly, maybe to the media. But can you describe him as a manager?
He's a great manager. He really is. He's a good guy. He's very. Actually, what you see in those meetings half the time is kind of what you get. He's very, very dry. But he's not afraid to tell it how it is. Over the years, I think maybe he's put a little bit more pressure on himself trying to win too many games. And now I know from, the front office to the, players and everything that they've got a lot of money that they spent there, and they're trying to win some ball games now. So I know there's a lot of pressure on them. So, I'm sure he's doing the best he can. But I love him. He gave me many, many good years as a great manager, and I respect him a lot for that.
Brandon, you know as well as I do, you've heard it, I've certainly heard it being a journalist, and that is that players always like to say, I want to know what my role is on the club. And yet for you, you're a guy that seems to be comfortable whatever that role is. And I always find that interesting. What allows you to kind of change mentalities to play third base, to be a backup catcher if you had to be, or to play any of the infield positions or even the outfield? How do you go about doing that? What type of attitude do you take to be able to be that flexible?
Well, for one, I'm happy playing baseball anywhere. That's what I wanted to do when I was a little kid. And so anytime I can put a uniform on, I'm happy to be on the field. Other than that, I think my biggest transition going from a shortstop in college, high school. I was always a shortstop. And then they made me a catcher. They signed me as a catcher, which was off the wall for me. I got to the minor leagues, and my first professional baseball that I played was as a catcher. It wasn't as a shortstop. So that transition was very, very tough for me. It was hard to do. It took me about a year and a half before I stopped flinching and the ball across the plate when I was catching. So I figured if I could make that transition, any other position they want to play me at, I was a natural infielder, and outfield was easy too. So if I made that catching transition, everything else would be a breeze. So that's kind of what made it easy for me.
How much does anticipation come into play when you're playing baseball? In other words, if you're a third baseman, you know the out situation, you know your pitcher on the mound, what he might be throwing in a certain situation. Maybe you shade yourself to the third baseline a little bit. How much does that come into play on a pitch-by-pitch basis in baseball?
I would say probably 99% of what we do is all anticipation and preparation to make sure that I know exactly what pitch is coming. Right now I've got Pennington, he's shortstop for me, and I can't see the signs where I am. So Pennington, he's the one that he's my relay man. So as soon as there's something off speed, I have him give me a little signal. I'm not gonna reveal that to anyone. I don't want the other team knowing. So that way I know exactly what pitch is coming. So for instance, the right-handed hitter up, and he sees an off-speed pitch being thrown. 9 times out of 10, that right-handed hitter is gonna yank that ball down the line. So now that I have the signal that's off-speed pitch, I can take a step over as the pitch is being thrown because I don't want to give it away to the other team. And then I get a better jump. I get the ball down the line, and we get out of the inning. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into play that no one would see on an average everyday basis.
We only have a couple minutes left, and I want to ask you, you've mentioned your dad a couple of times and how he taught you to respect the game and everything. Tell me a little bit about growing up with baseball and in the Inge family.
My grandfather, he was World War II veteran. He played a little baseball, but he had to go into the war at that point. But and my father, he loved baseball. My whole family. My dad was a pitcher. My uncle was his catcher. So my dad went to play college baseball in North Carolina. And so he just taught me everything about the sport. My grandfather had a lot of respect for the game. He loved it. And it was just passed on generation to generation. Me and my brother used to play wiffle ball in the backyard. And it was just one of those things where we just loved the game. We watched Major League Baseball games, and it's kind of funny. I grew up an A's fan too. Now I'm here. So, Ricky Henderson, Mark McGwire, Dave Stewart, all those guys. I love watching them. So, it's just about showing respect, playing the game the right way, and playing it how the guys, they've been in this game, they played it the right way. So, try to keep the tradition going. That's the way I was taught.
Brandon, we're heard worldwide on the American Forces Network. That means the 500 stations in 177 countries, including over in Afghanistan, over in Landstuhl at the medical hospital over there as well. And I know you want to send a shout-out to the troops.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Everything that we're able to do over here in the United States is because of them. They're keeping our freedom and making things safe over here for us. And I know that every guy in baseball that I've come across, they can't thank the troops enough. And especially here in Oakland, we know that a lot as well. So we appreciate everything that they do for us, and thanks for helping us keep our freedom.
I got to tell you, one of the things I appreciate with you is I'm looking at a picture of you, and you have your pants worn like old-time baseball players used to do it, and I just love that look. I think that that's so respectful of the game, and I want to compliment you on that as well. You're welcome back here anytime, and when I drop over to the ballpark, I'll say hi, and let's try to come back and join us again here on Sports Byline. I've enjoyed this conversation, Brandon.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Brandon Inge with us, third baseman for the Oakland A's, but as you heard me say, he is very versatile. He is a super sub. He can play almost anywhere in the infield and the outfield as well, and if need be, as an emergency catcher, played the first 11-plus years with the Detroit Tigers. We continue with more of you in Sports Byline.